publishing since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1240. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me on this episode is Paris Lilly. What's going on, Paris?
Good morning, good morning. How you doing?
Everything is good here, man. Everything is good. Last week, I went to the Persona event. Shout out to Sega for inviting me. That was a lot of fun. Got to see a couple creators there. And it was interesting. It was a lot of people there, like just fans, and they were promoting the ports of Persona 3, 4, etc. So, and also they were promoting Game Pass because they had a lot of Xbox Series S all over the event where people could play the game and stuff. So, but besides that, there's nothing else, man. I know you've been trying out the new controller, the PlayStation 5 controller, right? The Pro controller that came out, that's coming out soon. How's that?
There you go again. Just put my business out there. Why you always put my business out there? Why you always do that?
Hey. It's public knowledge. It's out there.
like you speak on that Persona event. Yeah, I could have gone, but it's like I've been kind of halfway sick for like the last week or so. And, you know, sure. I didn't want to be in a public place coughing and, you know, how people might take that the way these days go with COVID and everything. So I just stayed home. But saw the pictures, looked fun. Saw Andrew was there, obviously we're there with Reed, stuff like that. So that was cool. As far as the PlayStation goes, yes, PlayStation sent over the DualSense Edge, their new pro controller, which will be out on January 26th, I believe. I was able to post a couple pictures, unboxing video. That's all I can say for now. There's an embargo because, you know, some of us in this industry actually follow embargoes and NDAs. But yes. So I can't say anything right now. But when that ends, I'll obviously have more things to say about it at that time.
Cool.
But if you go on my social media account, go on my YouTube channel, you can check out the unboxing video and a few pictures of the controller.
Now, can the only question, which is not breaking the embargo, can I ask about, like, is it bigger, smaller than the original controller? That's only.
No, it's exactly the same. I mean, it's the same size as the current DualSense. Like, I even have in the video, I actually have them. I hold them up side by side. Like I even said in that video, the Edge feels slightly heavier. And I'll just leave it at that for now. But felt slightly heavier than the traditional DualSense. But yeah, I'll have more to say. Here, soonish.
Cool. Well, once an embargo comes up, then I'll probably ask you more questions about the controller.
Yes, you can definitely do that.
Because I also, Paris, don't break embargoes. You know, I sign NDAs and I keep my word.
So you don't just leak it?
No, I don't leak it.
Okay, because God forbid, I guess that's a bad thing now in the industry to actually, you know, follow an embargo. But whatever.
Yeah, which is
and for those that are wondering what we're talking about, all you got to do is go on my Twitter timeline, you'll know.
Yeah. We don't highlight those people that are always looking for problems. But anyways, so everyone, head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just make sure to search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, and also post a review. Now, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, which we'll be getting emails and voicemail, but I'm going to save it for a future episode. Keep on sending questions. Here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris. So on this episode, we have Khalif Adams. This is a great conversation, by the way. I recorded an interview with him and also my wife, Rihanna Emanuel Pena. We talked about the Spawnies, which is airing later this month. And great conversation. We recorded this live at the Kinda Funny Studios in San Francisco. So can't wait to post that later in this episode. But first, Paris, I know we've been trying out also the NVIDIA GeForce Now. There's been an upgrade. And this one is using the RTX 4080 servers. And great experience. At first, I didn't know which game I should play, so I was like checking out the list of games that that you could actually see the difference a lot more. And one of the first games I tried was Apex Legends and also Fortnite for me. And I tried other games, and I thought at first that I could use these this new version of GeForce Now. Use it on a regular Samsung TV. Those updates are not available there just yet. I know it was only available for like the PCs and stuff like that. But I believe in the future we're gonna get to see that there in the TV and everything, man. But great experience also using the TV version too, man. So, but I played a lot of Fortnite using this. And it was a great experience. Got to see the difference of like compared to like other cloud services. And as of right now, I think this is like the most advanced one that I've seen so far. Even though I haven't tried the other games, but the ones that I usually play most of the time with friends, those are the ones that I've been using it there, man. So for you, have you been trying out a lot of those games besides the ones that I mentioned?
Yeah. So what I did, because I feel like this was a great barometer to kind of see where the cloud tech is, especially with some of the new features that they're adding here with this ultimate tier I'll talk about in a second, with Cyberpunk 2077, because that's something that is graphically intensive. You're going to need a beefy GPU to unlock some of the advanced features. So with this new ultimate tier, which is basically taking advantage, like you said, of the RTX 4080 cards in the cloud, now you're able to be able to cloud stream at 4K resolution up to 120 frames per second, is utilizing DLSS3. You can have HDR on, you can have ray tracing enabled. And I got to say, along with NVIDIA Reflex to kind of help reduce latency. I even said there's a talk on NVIDIA. They have a Discord that you can talk in. And I even said during the testing period, just straight up, I was like, wow, I'm extremely impressed with this. If you would have walked up to my desktop as I was playing Cyberpunk 2077, you would have literally thought I was playing it off of my 4090. That's how impressive it looked. The fact that I was hitting 4K, 120 frames, ultra settings, ray tracing. And I mean, there was not any noticeable lag that was happening. It was a fully enjoyable, playable experience that I was able to have over their cloud tech, which, full disclosure, in my house, I do have gig internet. You know, the servers are in Los Angeles, so I'm very close to it. So it's very low ping time, the latency to get into the cloud servers. Just, you know, for so your experience may be different than mine, but mine testing this, it was pretty much flawless. You can also play this on ultra wide screens. I believe the resolution on that is 3840 by 1600. At 120 frames per second. You can also play at 1080p at 240 frames per second over the cloud as well. I tested that out too. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it really is. And to the point that you're bringing up before, when we look at the other competitors in the cloud space right now, obviously Stadia just retired this week, but you look at what Xbox is doing, you look at what PlayStation is doing, you look at what Amazon is doing with Luna, none of them are meeting these specs right now. I also like the fact that GeForce Now allows you to play games that you already own on Steam, on GOG, on whatever Ubisoft is calling their PC thing. I forget that.
Ubisoft Connect and also Epic Game Store.
You're right, exactly. Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome, sir. You're welcome, sir.
No, but the point of what you're saying is you can connect to all these different stores. And if you own the games on there, boom, you're able to stream them and play them. Now, there will be some that are licensed that they're saying, hey, they don't want to work with NVIDIA. They won't work. But the vast majority of them do work. And the difference, as an example, to Xbox, you have to be subscribed to Game Pass to be able to play their games over cloud stream. There are some exceptions now, like Fortnite and things like that. But I like this better personally. The games I own I get to basically play wherever I want with GeForce now. So, and like I said before, on a desktop, you're able to hit up to 4K resolution, 120 frames, or 1080p resolution up to 240 frames. It's fantastic, along with ray tracing and all that. And then obviously, you know, throwing in DLSS 3 and NVIDIA Reflex, I mean, just makes it a very enjoyable, playable experience. It really does. And I know I talk about cloud gaming a lot. Is this going to completely replace your console or your desktop PC? Absolutely not. That will always be the primary. Local gaming will always be the primary way we engage with games. It just is, because the latency thing, it's unpredictable. But to have this as a supplement, to have this, I'm traveling, I'm at the hotel or whatever, I want to fire up a game and play and be able to play and have an enjoyable experience with it, it's fantastic. And, you know, as bandwidth continues to get faster, as they figure out new tricks on the back end to reduce latency, I mean, the infrastructure of this is only going to get better as we move forward. So great job by NVIDIA on this. And the rollout of the ultimate tier, the 4080 servers in the cloud, it's being rolled out slowly. So it's not available everywhere right now. Like I said, we're in the Los Angeles area, so we do have access to it right now, but it's not going to be everywhere. And I don't have it in front of me of what the rollout plan looks like, but it'll be over the next few months.
Yeah, I've been doing to Paris, I've been adding all the games from NVIDIA GeForce Now as like I created a whole home icon to my desktop. So if I, you know, where you click and I would just want to play a game, just click it. It will connect to the servers, and it's been a very smooth process, and it's super fast for me. Maybe like you were saying, maybe it's because I live here in Los Angeles. Maybe that's why it's smoother and faster around my area. But I wonder how it is like if you're in like the East Coast or some other place that you're not close to the service. Do you think that's something where it's going to be a little bit slower to connect and a very different experience, do you think, or not?
Well, the truth of the matter is it's really going to depend on, number one, your internet speed, your download and upload speed coming from your home or your wherever you're located. And then how close you are to those data centers, that plays a big role in that, because, you know, obviously your ping times are going to matter. The higher your ping times, the more latency that you're going to have in any type of gaming experience. And obviously NVIDIA with Reflex, and obviously I'm sure some compute that they're doing on the back end to try and predict, you know, movements, things like that, to help reduce latency, you know, a little bit of Wizard of Oz behind the curtain trickery, but that's the whole point. You're always, cloud gaming is always going to have some form of latency. The fact that they've gotten it to this point where in just regular gameplay, it's not that noticeable is great. Now, competitive, like you said, you're playing Fortnite, things like that. But getting into competitive gaming, multiplayer gaming with a high latency, you're going to lose every time. This is just the reality of it. So this is why I'm saying for true primary where you're going to play, you're always going to pick a local setup over cloud. But for the average gamer, for someone that's just playing for fun, I mean, this is fine. It really is.
Yeah, and I'm happy that the amount of games that's available there to play, especially if you have those games on other services like, Steam, Epic Game Store, Ubisoft Connect, etc., it's a lot. I have a lot of games, and there's games that is not available on Xbox Game Pass. You know, so for example, Cyberpunk. I know you mentioned it. I forgot to mention that. That's the also another game that I've been trying out too through the service, and it's been a very smooth experience. And that's the game that I've been playing the most lately. Maybe it's because I'm just excited about the expansion that's coming out later this year. So I've just been doing a lot of like the main quests again. Side quests, etc. So it's been a very, very, very smooth experience for me, man. So I know every Thursday there's a new game that they're always adding in there to GeForce Now. But another game that I think people should definitely try out with this too is also Control. If you're a fan of, you know, Alan Wake and all that stuff. Anything else from this, Paris? I think I think that's it for my part. But I'm enjoying it. I think this is really cool. And sometimes I just don't feel like just launching the game from the computer. I'm like, oh, let me just try new things. And this has been great. I think I recorded a couple of videos of me just playing Fortnite, a couple of the games, and it's been so far has been very, very smooth. No issues at all, and been great for me.
Yeah, I mean, I would just finally say it's available now, but this is a slow rollout to have the ultimate tier where you can take advantage of the 4080 architecture. Mm-hmm. May not necessarily be available in your area right now, so you can sign up for it, you can have access to it, but just be aware it may not be available in your area currently. I'm actually, as I'm talking, I'm trying to see if I can find exactly where they said what the rollout looks like. Let me see. I don't want to drag this on too long. See if I can find it really quick. And I am not seeing it. So unfortunately, I don't have the information in front of me right now. But like I said, I know it is a slow rollout over the next few months, but you can sign up for it now. So check it out if you're interested.
Yeah. And thanks to NVIDIA, GeForce Now, the whole team over there for giving us access for this for us to try it out. And also, talk about it on the show and social media. So thank you so much for giving us access, man. It was a lot of fun. So, all right. So I'm going to play this interview now with Khalif Adams. Paris, I'm very excited for the Spawnies. I think people are going to really enjoy this once they get to see this, man. And I know last year I had an amazing time watching it live on Twitch, which you could go and make sure to follow Khalif Adams, and you could also watch his podcast on twitch.tv/spawnonme. That's twitch.tv/spawnonme. And I'm very excited. Can't wait for people to check this out. And it's happening later this month. Paris, anything else you want to say before I play this interview with Khalif and Rihanna?
No, just to echo what you said, I'm excited for the Spawnies to come this year, you know, this being year two. So, you know, I know Khalif has taken some lessons learned from year one and, you know, being able to record it up there at the spare bedroom. And I know there's a bunch of surprises that are coming. I'm actually scared to see what he's going to do, but I'm excited for him. I'm very happy for Khalif, and I'm very happy to see this award show just continue to grow here in year two. And I know it'll be beyond, and I'm sure both Ka and Reed just killed it as hosts. So just like yourself, I'm excited to be a viewer and see what it's going to look like at the end of the month.
All right, so we're going to play this interview. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, live from San Francisco, we have the homie, the man himself, the man that also cooks pretty well. According to Paris, it says it doesn't, but I think you do.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, Khalif Adams from The Spawn on Me. What's up?
What the DOB fan? How you doing? How you
good, holding? Good. And also I have my beautiful wife, Rihanna Manuel Pena.
Hello.
Very talented.
Thank you.
Yeah, the most talented. And also she's part of the What's Good Games of podcast too. How you
I
doing?
Am. I'm pretty good. I'm riding high right now because the one Tim Geddes from Kind of Funny said that I am a monster on the prompter. So nice. I'm feeling very confident
That's
today.
That's good. That's really, really good. Yeah. So
prompter skills is on point.
Ka, it's been, we were having this conversation right before we started recording, and I think the last time I had you on in person,
yeah,
was in Washington, D.C. for the Division 2. We recorded this at my hotel room.
Yeah, this was me, you, Andrew Renee, Brittany Brombacher.
Yep. That was a lot of fun.
Oh my God.
We were very drunk that night.
We were so drunk. That was such a fun show.
Yeah, yeah. And congrats. It's going to be, what, 10 years for the Spawn on Me
podcast? It's funny, though, because it's like when I think of, like, our show, mm-hmm. and, you know, I still consider you to be the kind of, like, high watermark, and GTR to be the high watermark of doing this for not only in a really good and comprehensive way, but for the length of time that you all have been doing this work. I feel like a baby podcast in comparison to what y'all do on GTR.
Let me tell you, to reach 10 years is not easy.
Yeah.
Not easy. And I think you mentioned this publicly, like you almost stopped.
Yeah.
For different reasons, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I'm glad that not only me, but a lot of our friends were like, nah, Kyle, you got to keep on going. And look, now you created something really cool, the Spawnies.
Yeah.
which is coming up January 25th, am I correct?
January 30th.
30th.
January 30th. January 30th. 6 p.m. PST, twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. We'll be on the front page of Twitch rocking. It'll be me and Ree.
Yeah.
Commanding the stage as usual, knocking live. It out of the park. It'll be live on Twitch. It'll be real, real cool to be able to see the second version of this show kind of come to life after, you know, it's one of those weird things of like, I think a lot of people, you have an idea in your head and you try to kind of nail that idea, but every year it winds up getting a little bit bigger, a little bit broader, and you wind up having some really fun moments to kind of like pull it all together.
You know what I gotta ask is like how the Spawnies came about. Like, was it something that you and Ree were just talking, or you came up with the idea, brought it up to her? And also, how's it been working with Ree? Because last year both of you did a fantastic job. You know, I'm not being picky or anything like that, you know, but
no bias there on that conversation. But, you know, but I think, you know, I think if I really dig into the bag, like I think a lot of the conversation around what the awards shows that are out in the world were, you know, I think the major ones were are still the Game Awards, which is still, I think, the kind of like, you know, standard for what a video game show can be. But I think the thing that actually like pulled it into focus was getting to host DICE for a couple of years. I think, you know, one, being able to have done that work across, you know, our wonderful friends over at AIAS and getting tapped for that, but also seeing the behind the scenes of how that show was coming together when they did it during the pandemic, I was like, I think I might be able to do something like this. Right. And I think the other angle on that was, I think, you know, when we talk about what award shows are supposed to do, I think one of the beautiful parts about Spawn on Me is like we've kind of been a gap filler for a lot of different things. Like we've been a gap filler for the conversations around diversity and blackness. There's been a real conversation about like what does it mean to kind of showcase underrepresented folks in a space. And I think that was the driving force behind kind of like starting the process of thinking about like, could you actually do this in a real way? And then the conversation from the nuts and bolts of like, so what does this look like? How do you build that thing out? And who do you want to be involved? The first person I thought of was Rihanna. Like Ree was the first person who I thought of because of lots of different things. One, brilliant at everything she does. Two, just has energy that is like phenomenal to be around. Three, I think, and I think a lot of people think about, you know, when you make a show, what's your agenda? What's the thing you're trying to do? And I think about all the award shows that are out in the space. How many black women are on a stage with those conversations? I think that's a huge part of that conversation. I think, and I hope, is that when people think about not only the work that we have done in this space and the legacy that we hope to kind of leave with the work that we do, that visual representation is amazingly important. And I think when you have dope people in your circle who understand the mission, who can be a amazing representative of not only themselves, but of a vibe and of folks, like you got to pull those people in and see if those projects make a lot of sense. And Ree continues to be one of the smartest people in this industry who is, you know, still on the rise in terms of the work that she's doing and getting a chance to do and everything that she touches. So it was an easy no-brainer to try to pull her into the project. And she killed it in the first year of the show. And you know, we're in the middle of producing the show and getting it done. And she continues to be like, you know, one of the best parts of getting to do this every year is seeing her shine, seeing her continue to be great and seeing her continue to just like nail it every time that we put a new obstacle in her way. She doesn't think about it. She just knocks those things down and makes it happen.
And I just love the vibe between y'all too. Like the, like while hosting the show too, it makes it even better, man. So for Ree, when Ka approached you and mentioned about the Spawnies, like, was it something like, you know, I'm going to do this right away, like to get some time for you to think about it or what?
Well, yeah, because it was Ka, right? So if anyone else would have said, hey, do you want to co-host a brand new award show? hold on, let me think about it, right? Yeah, yeah. But because it was coming from one of my mentors, one of my inspirations in this industry, I didn't hesitate. I didn't even think about it. I was like, yeah, of course. Like, of course I'm going to do this with you. And mm-hmm. like, maybe I've never hosted an award show before. That's fine. Maybe I've never read a script on a live podcast before. That's fine. Like, I'm going to figure it out, because everything that Khalif has built is important to this industry. Everything that he has created with the Spawn on Me podcast needs to exist. Mm-hmm. And I believe that with everything in me, and I'm honored to be a part of uplifting marginalized voices and bringing attention to people who deserve light shown on what it is that they bring to this industry. And Ka does that every single week, and even more so with the Spawnies.
Yeah, I know last year you guys did a remote. Rihanna was Dominican for the whole show. And she had the Dominican flag in the background.
Manuel Peña. Manuel Peña. Manuel Peña. Yeah. It was Manuel.
Que lo que?
Que lo que?
Yeah. So, the production, very different this year. Last year was totally remote.
Yep.
And the vibe is also different because now it's in person, you know?
Yeah.
The vibe is going to be fantastic when people are going to get to see this. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the in-person stuff, you know, we'll leave a little, because I forget exactly when this will go up. I don't know if it'll go up before the presentation or the live show, but I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, the pandemic stole from us was the ability to do this in person. I think that, you know, you talked about the vibe that Rhea and I have, and Rhea and I have known each other for a while now. So it's like, you know, that camaraderie, that kind of shared vision for what we, you know, align with, you know, the foundation parts of the show, also just come through in the way that we have interacted. Like, you know, we all play games together. We all go to events together and hang out with each other. So, you know, those things are easy. It never feels forced. It never feels like we're trying to figure it out. It's like, she can catch the same way back and forth, and it just works in that way, and it makes it great. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a part of the ethos of not only what we're trying to put together and why Spawnies was a thing to start with, but I think it's also just like a part of the culture, right? Like, I think there are cultural touchstones. I think this is going to sound wild, but it's like the conversation around blackness is very, very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Where there are parts of our shared experiences that we don't have to think about, and we don't have to talk about, and we don't have to try to figure out how to fit a square peg in a round hole. And I think that's a beautiful layer of that thing that we share as friends, and we share as folks who are doing this project, that I feel comes through in every time that we are able to produce a show like this and put something out in the world like that. And I think the audience has found and resonated with that part of it. And I think now that we're doing it in person, you get that kind of raised up to another level, which I think is just going to be really fun for the audience to kind of like absorb and pull in.
Yeah. And how about you, Reed? Like, your experience from last year compared to this year?
Very different. I will say being in person feels better. And not to say that the quality of last year's Spawnies wasn't incredible, but there is a whole nother energy in the room when, you know, you're breathing the same air, you can hear each other laughing in your ear. Like, it definitely gives a lot more life into the segments that we're doing. And for those who don't know about like the behind the scenes of the production of the Spawnies, most of it is riffed. Like, Ka and I freestyle like 90% of this show. So it's just so important to have that back and forth. And because, as he described, we do have that relationship, we do have that camaraderie, it just comes so naturally. And it's turned up even higher when we're in person and we can just vibe off of each other and off of the other people in the room.
And what about like the support from major companies in gaming? Have they been very supportive from the beginning, or was it something like, I need to show them the first one, and now it's a lot easier for the second award show?
Well, I think it depends on the kind of angle, right? Like, I think, and you know this because you've built up a really fantastic like level of cachet with people over the you know, 20 years now?
22
years?
End of this month. 25th of January is 22.
Good Lord. Yeah. But it's that stuff, right? Like, you've built up good relationships with people. And I think for me, it's like I run on really small amounts of resources. Like, a lot of people don't know how much it costs to put on an award show, even at this medium scale. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that winds up happening is that because I've not stepped on, not stepped on toes, but I've not burned bridges, and I've kind of come to the space with a nuanced set of ideals, and hopefully a nuanced set of, you know, conversations that I think people have enjoyed over the past decade, that it winds up making a lot of those asks easier, mm-hmm. where they know I'm not going to go off cuff and do some wild stuff that's going to like hurt their branding. Mm-hmm. But it's been great because it's like, you know, we had Coil, Lenovo, and fan and not fan, fam of the show, Alana Pierce, support the show initially. This year we've doubled up and we've gotten Xbox and Twitch, and the folks over at Zynga and their Black ERG to come help and support the show this year from not only a financial support perspective, but like they've given us content to put into the show this year, which I think is also important. It's another layer of signaling that we trust Khalif to be able to do things well, mm-hmm. and at a level of quality that is, you know, easily connectable to our branding and the way that we do that stuff. So it's been cool to be able to see that that's a thing. And to know that, like, you know, when I sit home with my wife and we talk about the like glow up over the past 10 years, of she's like, you know, you just did that thing, right? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, you know, you just booked this with this company and this wild thing. And I think about that often of just like, I'm just a dude with a 9-to-5 job who has figured out the way to kind of learn about how to brand yourself, how to talk about yourself, and how to provide the opportunity to do what that thing is that we need to do as our community in the gaming space, which is mm-hmm. connect with folks, understand that there is a market here for you to be able to thrive in, mm-hmm. and to signal to people that this is a connection point that you should have. Like, I think that's a fundamental part of all of the work that I do in the Spawnies is an extension of that, is to say the Black and Brown community is a place that continues to get forgotten about in the gaming space. Mm-hmm. We are some of the biggest consumers of this art and of this platform and of this medium. We are a force to be reckoned with, and we should be able to have those conversations and have a seat at that table. Mm-hmm. And this is an extension of that conversation to say, like, here's an extension, here's an olive branch out to you to make that happen through me and through the show that we do. So those are like the foundational parts of all of that and how you bridge that together.
Quick question about that. I know it's going to be 10 years yeah. for the show. Like, how different was it for you back then to see more people of color involved in the industry compared to it now in 2023? Has it changed? Has it gotten better, do you think, or has it been kind of like still the same, or what? I'm going to get both opinions.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I think it's a mix where I think, you know, last time I was at GDC, I saw more of us there. Mm-hmm. TwitchCon, I saw more of us there. I think the spaces that we don't see, and it's funny because we're coming up on DICE, I don't think we'll see a lot of us there, right? And that's not because of anything that you know, folks who are running DICE are doing, but it's like there isn't enough of us in the space at those levels yet to fully integrate that into part of the show. The Spawnies is a part of that conversation. Our goal, my personal goal, is that from start to finish, you see nothing but POC folks or folks from underrepresented communities. Mm-hmm. The reality of that is that we're not going to get to 100% for a while, right? But it doesn't mean you don't strive for that as the goal. And people will say, oh, well, isn't that a weird political agenda? And it's like, yeah, we all have agendas. It doesn't mean your agenda is a negative, right? That agenda can be a positive force for what you're trying to do. And I think the more that we push that needle, you know, push the needle forward, the more it becomes a conversation that you don't have to have externally. You just wind up doing that work, right? And then you wind up seeing people and you're like, oh, that person that helped me get to my spot, I can then help the next person get to the spot where I was, and we can continue to kind of do that bucket brigade of diversity towards the next layer of where we want to land. So yeah. I think that's the way I think about that.
And Ree?
I think in the, 8 years I've been in the industry, it has gotten better. I think, to Kha's point, the level of achievement of Black and Brown folks just still needs to be higher, right? Like, there's so much incredible work being done, and there is more representation in the spaces that we occupy as folks who are in the game industry. One example I can shout out is this past December at the Game Awards, AIAS had an event for the Game Makers Playbook, and there were like 20 Black and Brown folks in that room, and we all actually called it out while we were there and thanked Megan Scavio and thanked the organizers for including us and took a picture. And shout out to Diana and our friends Diana and Javier. Mm-hmm. They both posted it on social and said, like, I've never seen this many colored melanin faces in the same place in a gaming event, period. Mm-hmm. I'm going to repeat that. They have never seen that many colored melanin faces at a gaming event.
And it's rare.
It's very rare. And all of the people in that room are brilliant. There are like marketers, there are game devs, there are PR people, there are writers and artists, and that they're absolutely in this place and taking up that seat at the table. I think the table needs to get bigger. I think the things that this collective and even more people who aren't in that room need to elevate, right? Like, we need to go further and reach even higher plateaus and then bust them and then go past that ceiling, right? Like, the thing that's really inspiring to me is seeing more faces, but I want to see more faces at the top. Mm-hmm. And we're in the room. Now we need to be the ones making the invite list. You know what I mean? Now we need to be the ones who are throwing the event, who are signing the checks. Like, that's how we get to a place where we have equity, where, you know, it's not something that an ally, an incredible person, is giving us an opportunity to be a part of. We are the opportunity. We're creating our own spaces. And I think that's what's so important about something like the Spawnies.
You know, speaking about ally, you know, for this one right now, I'm glad to see that Kind of Funny, the whole crew has been very supportive to support you for this award show. You want to talk about a little bit about that too?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the conversation about, like, who are the people in your flock, right? It's like, who are the people who believe in you, your project, your product, and have an ability to kind of uplift that part of it? I have to give Kind of Funny folks a lot of credit too, right? Where, like, if you really think about the conversation around them early days, right? It was like, oh, it's just four white dudes in a room talking about video games and that kind of stuff. I think if I'm counting right, at least half of their squad now is POC folks, right? It's like, that's not just by happenstance, right? And that's not necessarily a saying of, like, we want to push that initiative forward in the kind of, like, fullest way of saying, like, we want POC folks to join our team. But a byproduct of them finding folks within their own community who wind up doing dope, who do dope work, and they are pulling those folks in and having conversations that they never had before in the past 5 years. I'm infinitely more proud of them in the past 5 years that they've been doing this work, because they just, you know, hit their year eight of seeing the growth in their content and the growth in the conversations that they've had and the growth of all of the things that they have decided to plant flags on and across. That's an instant, like, how do we align and do dope stuff? I mean, Greg was always a person that I looked up to in this space, but it made me the most excited to see Blessing join the crew. Mm-hmm. And Roger, you know, Borkini join the crew. And those folks pull themselves up by, I'm not going to say where they're bootstraps, but like, pull themselves up and say, like, we were doing our own things. And we decided that we want to be a part of this much bigger thing, and seeing the founders and the rest of that team embrace that and say, we not only want to bring you into the roster, but we want to give you space to do your own thing, is what I think a lot of folks in the space are asking for, right? I think it's the thing that when we talk about what the changes are for diversity and inclusion and equity in this space, it's not only about the how do we do the easy thing? You want people who may have a bigger space than you or may have more reach than you to use their platforms and do that work. I remember when we did A Lesson in Blackness, they were on the front page of helping move some of those conversations forward. Like, we had so many people help to do that work that it made all of that stuff kind of easier to think about. So, you know, KF for fam, like, I just appreciate and they inspire me all the time to think bigger. You know, they have their new spare bedroom, you know, studios that they've built. That's infinitely inspiring to a person who is thinking about what it means for the next version of his career and what that means from a content creator perspective to see them even think bigger than what they've already kind of thought of. So I think, you know, I am infinitely inspired by so many different people who are around me all the time that it makes the conversation in my own head of like, how far do you think of your dream and how far do you think of how much you can get done? Of course, I want to pivot and do some other stuff, too. Like, it was fun to do the NBC show this year, you know, in 2022. And it was fun to do more sports related stuff. And I want to continue to figure out good ways to do other culture related stuff. But like, it's seeing people go out of their comfort zone is what makes all of this stuff kind of possible.
You know what? I got to give you props in 2020 when the whole thing with George Floyd, that podcast you recorded with, it was a good group there. It was, I think Paris was in it.
It was Paris, Blessing. Cameron, Cameron Hawking, Zombie Kills, Pikachu Lita.
Yeah, yeah.
All of us came together and had that conversation, yeah.
Very important podcast, in my opinion, that completely changed the industry, in my opinion. And I know we talked about this behind the scenes, like behind multiple times. No, and it's true because I feel like that conversation opened a lot of like, the eyes of a lot of people that have never even heard of or, you know, that conversation from an industry. And because of that, a lot of change has been happening because of it, you know. And still to this day, you could tell, like, the changes that have been made, man. So is that something that you want to do with the Spawnies too, man? Like, you know, let's think of it like 10 years from now. Like, what is it that you want people to remember about the Spawnies?
I mean, it's funny. My role models are non-gaming ones when it comes to that stuff. Like, I'm a old fart. So I'm a product of a lot of different media that a lot of folks now don't know, right? Like, I remember very much sitting with my grandma and we'd watch ABC shows and there was this one called Like It Is. And the host was this man named Gil Noble. And Gil Noble was like had an interview show just like the one that we're doing now, face-to-face interviews when he would talk about folks across the Black diaspora about like what they were doing and how they were kind of infusing what they were doing in the space to build something bigger for the community and for the culture, right? So you have him as one person that I think of all the time. There's another cat who gets clowned all the time in Black spaces called Byron Allen. And Byron Allen did all of these dope shows that you would never see. They were always kind of bad because they would play at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So it was like these shows that were done that were like a Pictionary show or like this kind of like weird, funky group kind of show. He's one of the most well-paid people on the planet. Like he literally has grown. He was like Tyler Perry before Tyler Perry, right? And I think of what my motivation is going to wind up being to kind of do that stuff. And I think the foundation of that is how do you build structures and frameworks for people to not just become consumers of stuff, right? Like Spawnies in the grandest vision of what I have is a thing that you never see me on ever again. You see me in the credits and you see me on the business end of it, providing experiences and providing avenues for other people to do that work on that behalf of what we are hoping to get done. And I think for me, it's always about the like, I want to be the helping hand to whoever else that I can do. I help people all the time that people don't know or people don't hear about, or we'll send money to people who need money when you need money to be like, yo, I don't have my house. I'm like, I can't afford this thing. And I'm like, you know, I'm lucky enough to work in a good job and me and my wife, we can like send somebody some dough, right? But it's like, it's all under the experience and the guise of saying like, we don't have to just be on the consuming end on it. I fully believe, and I say this all the time, but like, we are the culture. Nothing moves on this planet without us. I wrote about it on my Instagram and my Twitter feed the other day. I was like, we are the most hated, sought after commodity on the planet. And it's always that way. It's never not been that way. Everyone hates on us for our skin, for our asses, for our lips, for our stuff. But they are the first ones to want to move like us. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why. Why don't we as a collective, as a people, figure out a way to galvanize that energy and make dope stuff that continues to move way after we're gone? Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's the foundation of the Spawnies. That's still the foundation of Spawn on me. It's the reason I, you know, when I take a job, that's the first question I ask people in the room is like, so what are you going to do about that? Right. And if you can give me a good reasoning, I'll stay around. If you can't, I'm dipping. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have time. This life is short.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about the longevity of all of this stuff. I was watching a really great show called, A Trip to Infinity on Netflix the other day. And it was like these mathematicians and scientists, and they talk about the idea of what infinity is. And it shrinks down all of the stuff that we do on this planet into this really interesting space of like time and effort and expansion and how you're thinking about your existence in something that's going to be here way after you're gone. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, at best, I have 20 years of work that someone will look at. And then after that, we're all going to turn to dust at some point, and somebody will remember it and somebody won't. So it's like, it's been a lot of that kind of like, how do you think about what time you have here? How much good can you get done? And what are the things that you care about in comparison to the way that the industry works, right? Mm-hmm. We had a fun conversation about like music that might go into the show and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't care if you hit me with a copyright strike. What you going to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm like, if I can pull together that feeling for an audience, that is what matters. Mm-hmm. And that is what will last for people when they think about this show, when they think about my work and the things that I want to do.
Yeah. And another thing I want to talk to Rhea about, I know you, for the past year or so, you also been going to GDC. And I know you've been working with Megan, that she's involved with DICE. You want to talk about the program that you've been doing over there too with the team?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the program you're referring to is called Amplifying New Voices. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to amplifyingnewvoices.org. Mm-hmm. And I am very pleased to say that I also met Megan Scavio and AIS working on DICE when it was remote, hosting a panel. And from there, our conversations were very natural. The things that Khan and I talk about all the time, Danny, you and I talk about all the time, those things are on the mind of the people at AIAS as well. And that's why they are making so many positive changes for the industry, one of them being ANV. So the way the program works is marginalized developers from anywhere in the entire world can apply. You have to have some dev experience, but you don't need to be a seasoned vet. You don't need to have shipped 5 or 6 games. I'm just interested in game development and you have something to show. And you apply, you're evaluated, and if you are chosen to attend, we fly you out. You get a travel stipend. You come the Sunday before the Game Developers Conference or GDC. And we do a full day of workshops. You get training with mentors to help write your bio, help you figure out how to pitch your game. You get fast-tracked for a GDC talk if that's something that you're interested in. And you're also receiving training on like how to present, how to navigate a tricky interview if somebody tries to hit you with gotcha questions, a way to absorb and deflect that. So it's really valuable information. And as I said, training, because it is one thing to give people an opportunity or hire them, give them a job, put them in a space. But it's an entire different situation when you give them the resources to thrive there so that they don't turn and burn, so that they don't come into the space, feel forgotten or left out and end up falling behind. That's the true piece of equity that is needed in order to make these larger changes for our industry. Honorifics are wonderful and they help elevate people and shine a light on folks that deserve to be seen, but it takes it to an entire new level when you give them training, you give them resources, you give them actual support, not just conversations or congratulations, but actual education. And that's why I feel so passionate, as you can probably tell, about amplifying new voices and why I'm involved. And excited that the applications are open right now for 2023 GDC. And we'll see who we're able to accept in the program.
Yeah, and it's very soon, right? GDC coming up.
Right around the corner.
March, right?
Yes, this March.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap it up. Ka, one more time, man. First of all, thank you so much for taking your time to talk to me.
Oh, you stop
it. And recording, you know, and yeah, promote the Spawnies one more time.
First of all, I gotta just thank you for, again, being a huge inspiration for me. You have kept me from jumping off of many a digital ledge to keep me from dipping out on doing the work. So it's always good. I'm just like, it's funny. I see the notifications on Twitter all the time of like when you and the crew are recording on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, that's some dedication, fam. You're getting a wow early to go do those shows. But that motivates me too of like, mm-hmm. you have been doing this for so long and at such a high quality that you need people in your life who will match your speed, match your energy, match that vibe to be able to say like, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna be consistent. So, you know, thank you to you and the rest of the GTR crew, except for Paris, for continuing to be a really good light in all of that. And Ree, you know I love you. You know you continue to be a person that I want to champion and continue to see grow in all the stuff that you do. I'm just happy that we get to be co-travelers on this and make that stuff happen. Everybody else, like, again, we were in year 10. It is wild to say that out loud.
A decade.
I didn't do nothing. The only thing I've done this long is be married and date my wife and been as consistent with a thing. And it's a driving force. It has given me a lot of different ways to kind of engage in the world. And it's given me a lot of different avenues. It's changed my life in a fundamental way. Mm-hmm. Of making content and doing this stuff. So Spawnies is going to be dropping on January 30th. That's our second show.
Good night.
Ooh, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be super, super fun. 6 p.m. PST. It'll be the front page of Twitch. We're going to have a lot of fun on the show. We got some surprises. We got some good stuff coming. And I really do think when I think about what this show is going to be, it is still that culmination of this is for y'all. Like, this is for the culture. This is to stamp a claim and to plant a flag about why we're dope in everything that we do and how we continue to kind of push everything forward in the culture. So I'm hoping that you all check it out. I hope you all kind of hang out in the chat. And we'll see you there on January 30th.
Yeah, mention your Twitter handle. People want to follow you and you want to, you know, check out some more of you beef between you and Paris.
Yes, yes, yes. Maybe you'll see it if Twitter is acting right. At Khalif Adams, that's K-A-H-L-I-E-F, F as in Frank, last name Adams. At Spawn on Me is the show handle. And again, please subscribe to the show. We're on every podcast platform on the planet right now. And we continue to try to do dope things and be dope while we do it. Wash your hands, wash your butt.
Yeah. And also, Ree, want to mention your Twitter handle, also podcast. People can follow the What's Good.
Yeah. People can find me on Twitter at Rihanna Tweets Now. That's R-I-A-N-A Tweets Now. For as long as that platform's still standing. And you can catch me most weeks on the What's Good Games podcast. So it's at What's Good Games.
Awesome. Well, thank you to both. And it was a lot of fun. Que lo que? Let's go. All right. Thanks, y'all.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so that was Khalif Adams and also Rihanna Emanuel Pena. Great interview. I had a great time recording this in person, by the way, in San Francisco. And also shout out to the whole Kind of Funny. I got to talk to everybody. Greg, Tim, also Mike from SCAS. A lot of fun, man. And I like the new t-shirts, Paris, for SCAS. Looks pretty cool, man. I gotta support and buy some, man.
No, yeah, it's pretty dope. Like, if anyone was able to watch the Game of the Year episode we did, as well as the fantasy draft where we did PS I Love You versus XCast, I was wearing the XCast hoodie. It's pretty dope. I like
it. Yeah, I got to go out there and support, man. So, all right, so anything else, Patrick, before we wrap it up? It was like a, you know, nice, sweet episode.
I think that's it. I mean, obviously, as people listen to this, if you listen to it right when it comes out, the Xbox Developer Direct will be coming out, what, like a couple of days after, or you may be hearing this afterwards. But I'm just very, very interested to see how the format looks, see what, you know, the four games that they announce, you know, how they're going to, developers will talk about them. And then the most important thing I think to come out of this is what are the release dates going to look like? And, you know, obviously we'll go from there, but really looking forward to that too.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it's called Developer Direct. I'm going to watch that on our channel on Twitch. twitch.tv/gamertagradio. We're gonna do that and just record my reactions. I'm very excited to check it out. Plus, I'm very curious about the dates. That's the part I'm like, okay, when are these games are gonna come out? So, and this is the first of many. So there's gonna be a lot more coming up in the future. And
because I want to go on record. Can I go on record of when I think these games are gonna come out? And I'm not gonna say the days, but the months. I think there's a cadence that's gonna happen to this. I think the Elder Scrolls Online expansion is February. Mm-hmm. I think Forza Motorsport is March. I think Minecraft Legends is in April. Redfall is going to be in May. Starfield will either be will be in June, like right before or right after the E3 showcase, or it gets delayed maybe a few weeks or something into like July, August, or September. That's my prediction. I think the Starfield showcase is going to be on May 5th because that is National Space Day. I think that's perfect. That's my predictions.
You know what? I agree with it. I think this is a great prediction. I had a feeling that Redfall was going to come out in May. I just wasn't sure about Forza. Wasn't sure with Forza, but with the months that you mentioned, I think it makes more sense of those days.
And I think Forza or Minecraft Legends could be either or. I think either is March or April, right? Those could flip. But I think those 2 months seem right for those two games. And then Redfall, like I said, to wrap it up would be in May. And then, like I said, after that, start, you know, because obviously there's a lot of speculation about Starfield, but Starfield feels like June to me. And then you do like the showcase a month ahead of time. So you do that in May. National Space Day is May 5th, 2023. It's on a Friday. You know, that'd be a perfect way for them to have like a 45 minute to an hour showcase about Starfield. You know, Todd Howard comes out, talks about it. They talk to the devs. We see extended gameplay, the whole thing. So that's my prediction. I'm probably 1,000% wrong on everything.
Hey, but you never know.
Yeah, that's my prediction.
But honestly, Paris, I think I think that it sounds good. Like, your prediction sounds perfect. I think those dates are, and it makes sense if you actually think about it. But I'm wondering, do you think it makes sense for Microsoft to have this type of direct every month, every few months, or what?
Every few months, and more specifically, when they actually have something to say. If there's no games that are getting close to being ready, there's no point to having a developer direct to talk about it, right? You want to do it a few months before a game comes out, let the developers tell their story, put a release date on it, go from there. I think you continue to keep the E3s and the fan fests. That's where you have your hosts. That's where you get an idiot like me come out there and talk about a game or something. But these in-between months, when you're getting close to launch, you kind of ramp it up. That way you can answer any, because then the developers, when you do it a couple months before the game comes out, the developers have everything locked in on what the game is supposed to be. So they can confidently answer questions that the community is going to have about their game. Like, what's this feature look like? What's that feature look like? As an example, I want Arcane Austin in this developer direct to once and for all show us what the progression looks like when you're playing in single player. Show us what the progression looks like when you're playing in co-op. I know they've talked about it on and off over the past few months, but I would love to see one final definitive answer from them directly and not just in an article or something about the progression. Mm-hmm. things like that. And obviously, like, even Forza, they can obviously talk about all those features that are coming with that. How's the online going to work? Like, there's so many different things they can talk about. And they even said in this, you know, in the lead up to the developer direct, like with Minecraft Legends, they're going to spotlight how the PvP works. These are the kind of things that you can do with these shows. And then, you know, you spread them out throughout the year and you kind of get a consistent cadence going of communication throughout the year from Xbox. I think they sorely need it. I think Nintendo's done a pretty decent job with it. Obviously, they're the ones that started directs in the first place. And then we've seen what PlayStation's done with State of Play. I think they've done a pretty decent job as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see all these announcements. I think it's going to be a great year, man, for gaming, just overall. So, but yeah, this is just in a couple of days. We're going to get to hear everything about Developer Direct from Xbox. So there you go. All right, Pirates, we're going to wrap it up here. So guys, until next time, we are out. Take care. I'm out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.